Welcome to Love at First Science, the podcast designed to dig deep into neuroscience, the human body, and anatomy. My name is Celeste. I'm a physio and I teach anatomy to yoga teachers. And this podcast is an archive of the lessons I've learned along the way in my attempt to bring a more science-based approach into the yoga world. Hey friends, thanks for tuning in. Just a quick reminder that I don't run any ads, so this podcast can only grow with your support. If you learned something new that you found useful, please do rate and review the podcast. And if you think the content can help someone get out of pain, improve their life, move without injuries, or even just feel more inspired, please share it with them. It would mean the absolute world to me, and you never know, we just might help elevate our community along the way. Very excited today to be welcoming Tony Ryan onto the show. Tony used to work for Z-Health, and Z-Health, as you know, is just this incredible company that teaches us how the nervous system can be tweaked in a million different ways to improve performance and help manage pain. And so what Tony has done, he used to work for Z-Health, but he now has set up on his own to help people with all of this knowledge that Z-Health has equipped us with in rehabilitating PTSD, ADD, autism, chronic pain, many other chronic issues that come along with the landscape of being a professional athlete or, having graduated from working in the army. You know, he's one of those people that works alongside other amazing practitioners like doctors and PTs and chiropractors. But of course, because of the information Z-Health has equipped him with, he looks at things through a unique lens. And it's this brain-based approach that I am a huge advocate of. And that's why I had to bring Tony on the show. This episode has been broken up into two parts. And this is part two. That's really helpful because I'll be honest, I've still baby Z-Health, baby neuroscientist in the making. And yeah. I was loving all the input changes. So just so you guys are aware, we're referring to the input now. The brain takes in information. Tony's talking about the interpretation part so that we improve the output. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I think I've got this like input thing down. We've got to do a bit of sensory stimulus. Maybe mm-hmm. we've got to do some neural flossing to make sure the nerves are sending and receiving messages a bit better. Mm-hmm. Eyes. Vestibular system, we're trying to get everything going to the brain being clearer, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then I was like, interpretation, like that's pretty high level stuff. Maybe I haven't gotten there yet. I know I have to improve how my cerebellum works and my brainstem mm-hmm. and maybe improve my mapping. But really outside of that, I didn't quite understand what more I could do. But you've mm-hmm. basically shed a huge amount of light on in this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things like, man, I do that with clients all the time, especially because like people, just to put it very bluntly, people in the Western world are kind of soft. Like we don't have to like sleep in a hut in the freezing cold, like just to survive every night. Like we have it pretty dang good. So a lot of the like being able to take people outside of their comfort zone and go, hey, this isn't that big of a deal was always a really big thing for me dealing with pain clients or anyone, because it was like, hey, like let's have some perspective on like, how much you're capable of. And that changes your interpretation. When you do really hard stuff, I come back to like a normal everyday life and like, okay, my yoga practice is no longer going to give me pain, or this is no longer going to give me pain because I do this hard stuff now and my brain knows I'm capable. So now my interpretation of my normal everyday stimulus is no longer threatening because I've gone outside of that scope. And so there's different ways to train that interpretation, but I always loved that part of it because now it's you have so many more tools and it's just more perspective based training, I guess. So you give people much more patterns that they can predict based on.
Okay, so you're using the word threat a lot, and some of you guys who follow me will know that I throw that word around left, right, and center. I am like queen of threat. I'll tell you all about the bucket. But some mm-hmm. of you who are listening might not know about the threat bucket and threat in general. So can we just quickly recap what that is so everybody's on board?
Yeah. So basically, because my brain's number one job is to keep me safe, it uses pattern recognition and prediction to do that. If it cannot predict accurately, or if it can't interpret all the information coming in to make a clear picture to be able to predict, it may feel threatened about the environment. Or if I get information that I don't know what to do with, or that's outside of previous patterns that I've seen, it may be threatening as well. So threat could be poor movement patterns. It could be a lack of visual or vestibular information. It could be someone being a mean person on the sidewalk when you're walking past them in the streets of London. Could be anything, but there are all these different stimuli coming into you all the time that you're processing, and any of them could be threatening for a number of different reasons. and your ability to mitigate that threat or handle it and adapt to it is basically the capacity that we're talking about here. So Dr. Cobb always explained it as a threat bucket of you have all these stimuli coming in, and eventually you're going to get to a point where the bucket fills up and basically it starts to give you outputs that are negative or outputs that are just meant to protect you because your nervous system's just trying to keep you safe.
Yeah, so actually, that's such a good thing you've just said, because we always think of these as negative. Oh, I'm going to change all my slides now because you're so right. I labeled them as negative, but they're actually positive because they're trying to keep you safe. And I did say that. I did say that these are trying to keep you safe, but I'm calling them negative outputs. And that's,
So again, that's where my responsibility as a coach to create people's perception and how they interpret input is super important. Because if not, you spend all the time being like, why is my brain and my body so stupid? Like, they're giving me all this bad. Now you have this like little like internal like self-hatred battle going on.
You're like, thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Now you're like, hey, like, dude, you're trying to do like, you're working so hard to like keep me safe. And I'm maybe not doing a good job of like helping that. So you're a team with your body, like your brain. Like, does that make sense? So like there's this.
Yeah, totally.
But you have to change that perception for people, because again, like, especially if they've dealt with any level of medical treatment or like any sort of diagnosis before you, they've gone into this weird state where they feel like they're at war with their body. And I kind of want to build that relationship back up for people where I go, wow, hey, you can be this symbiotic team that like synergizes off of each other. And now you can move forward like with some actual like gusto.
This is incredible. Right? I'm learning so much from listening to you talk about this stuff, Tony. Thank you for shedding light on that. Mm-hmm. I definitely need to. I mean, it's so funny because I did like a couple of workshops this year all about, you know, we've got to be careful of our language, particularly in the yoga world. There's a lot of fear mongering. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I was like, you know, really trying to change that in myself. And in addition to that, educate the coaches who follow me and who trust the information I put out there. But you've just made me realize that I need to take it to the next level.
Yeah. It's what you actually feel about it. Like that's where like, yeah, it's weird because that's the whole like self-awareness of like, oh, like what's actually going on in my head, right? And then, because I had to learn that at some point too. I wasn't always like this, right? I had to go back and go like, oh, wait, like this is actually all really good stuff that my brain's trying to help me out. Like it's working overtime. It's doing a great job.
So good. I love this. Yeah. Okay. So I've got a lot of work to do to still improve the language. So there's a few good things that we've kind of touched upon. Vision, guys, vision's important. Vestibular, for anyone who doesn't know that long word, all it means is your inner ear organs that help you balance. We also speaking about language and our ability to just trust our bodies a bit, that our bodies are actually trying to do the right thing for us. So there's a few takeaways there for the listeners, but is there anything else that you're like, oh, if everyone just did this, life would be better?
Honestly, like, and it kind of goes back to the last thing of like, trust your bodies a little bit, is like, you're incredibly resilient as humans. Like you have a ton more capability than you think you have. So I encourage people to go out and do hard stuff all the time. It's like things that you don't think you can do. And like, that's where I see you getting in the gym and doing all your gym work and doing all these different things. I love it because I go, what's something challenging that I'm not used to that I can teach my brain that we're capable of like way more than we think we are. And like, I do a lot of martial arts, and I train some citizens here in like personal security and like self-defense situations. And when you get done with those scenario-based trainings and those courses, or like actually grappling with another human being that's trying to cause you harm, it makes working in front of a computer and doing whatever work you have way less threatening, right? Because you go, oh, I just survived someone trying to strangle me for an hour. Like, this is not that bad. Like, right? But my interpretation is totally different now, right? Because I'm way more resilient than I thought. So if I keep building that pattern that like I'm so capable and like keep pushing that to people, like that's what I want for people. That's why I preach the vision vestibular stuff. Cause I want to use that stuff, not just to like, oh, okay, I'm good at visual and vestibular skills now, but I want it to breed confidence in you to go out and do adventurous, exciting things that we're capable of as humans, because that will actually create an environment where you're thriving now and that you'll give that gift to other people. And it creates this really nice butterfly effect, I think personally.
Definitely. And, you know, while you were talking, I just remembered that I recently taught a teacher training where we gave a lot of brain-based tools. And I taught a couple of classes about the vestibular system, one class about vision. And I mean, I really pushed the boundaries. And how many people experience dizziness? I was shocked. I mean, these are teachers. Hey, these are people that are like good movers. These people, like, they know their body, they trust their body, they can do some hard stuff like balancing on their hands for a long time.
Yeah.
And the comments coming through, oh, I found your class really hard. I've got really dizzy. I felt really unwell. And I was like, oh, first I took on responsibility and I was like, oh, I went in a bit too hard. I need to tone it down. But I was actually, then I was speaking to someone who works for me who is incredible. And she was like, no, like they just aren't moving properly. Like they are not training their bodies and their eyes and their inner ears appropriately to handle these stimuli.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like I say, like, a lot of stuff, especially with the stuff that I think I know what you're talking about. You're talking about like some balance progressions and some other stuff that you may have.
We were doing like, well, I mean, I went off the yoga piece to massively were spinning and we were doing eyes and they were not, able to do it.
Yeah. And that's the thing where I explain to people, cause I like, again, I have this very encouraging, loving side. And then I have this other side that like, we have to keep the standard here. And like, that's the standard. Like, dude, you're telling me you can't move your eyes to the side like this without getting like dizzy and like, feeling, like that's suboptimal. Let's just be honest about it. Like you need to be better. Like, how do you think you're going to move through the world if you can't do that? Like that's a basic human skill. And so that's
okay. But question for you, apologies. I'm getting overexcited. So I cut you off, but let's say you are working with a client. They can't do something basic like move their eyes to the right, otherwise they get a negative output. Do you avoid that to not spike their threat? Or do you give them more of that to get their brain resilient enough to realize it's not a threat? Like that's a delicate balance that I'll be honest, I, as a coach, working with chronic pain people, people with really severe issues, I struggle with that sometimes.
Yeah, there's a couple ways to go about it. And this is where the science turns into a bit of an art. So there's the science and the art side of it. Like, how do I apply the science, right? So there's a couple different ways. I will vividly remember Dr. Cobbett, my first structure course back a couple of years ago. Really, like we were doing vertical smooth pursuits. And most of us, when we're doing vision work, it's like, okay, start people with like 5 to 10 reps and like maybe no more than that. He's like, everyone needs to do 30 to 50 reps. And what you would see is when everyone started doing that, they were kind of crap for the first like 5 to 10, even up to 15. And as they started to get into the drill and get up to 30, they would catch a flow and their brain would figure it out. And so as a coach, I never wanted to be scared to go like, oh, I don't want to break you. I want to be like, no, you're going to adapt, like do more. Like you'll be okay. Now that's not the case for everyone. Some people are extremely good, and you have to be able to tiptoe around that. And like, there's other ways with the anatomy that I can stack things. And I was working with a lady that had some vertigo issues the other day and I had to do that. I was like, she's a great mover and a great fitness person, but I had to do some extra like cerebellar stacks to get a VOR working and using a gaze fixation. So there are ways to be super sniper specific if the people need it. But a lot of people, I just go, of course you're crap at this. And of course it's scary because you never do it. You haven't done it in 20 years. So of course you suck.
Start getting the whip out. Drop it, give me 20.
Like you're going to suck. And of course it's going to be scary. So like, I just go, hey, keep working through it. And for me as a coach, it's really important to pay attention and go like, oh, you're getting just ever so slightly better every rep. So I'm like,
So you're like, there is the cheerleader. That's wicked. Yeah.
And I can see, I can see it happen. Like if they're doing a pencil pushup and their eyes starting to like figure it out. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You're like, you're adapting. I'm like, you're human.
Nice.
Of course you are. That's awesome.
Okay. So like, okay. Let's keep this going. Is very let's encouraging.
So there was always a bias for me because especially when I was coming into Z Health, everyone was, I think there was just people had adopted because a lot of people had come in with chronic pain to Z because they were trying to get better. So they adopted this mentality of like, oh, don't do too much. It's a little scary. And I had gone when Dr. Cobb had kind of taught us in that way, I was like, okay, like we can just give more load, like, cause more load might be a regression, right? The same way if we were doing ankle tilts or some sort of like for your listeners, any sort of movement work. If I give you a band, everyone assumes, okay, that's a progression now because there's more load. Is it? Or is more information about proprioceptively where my arm is? Like, is that more helpful? Now it's a regression because it's making it easier for me.
Wow, Tony, you are blowing me away, honestly. This is so helpful, honestly. I'm learning so much listening to you. I'm so happy we're doing this.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Thank you. Honestly. Yeah. I feel like you and I need to have weekly sessions so you can help me progress up. I'll be contacting you after this so that we can schedule in some sessions.
Let's do it.
Hey, my loves, real quick, if you are hypermobile, be sure to check out my book, Too Flexible to Feel Good, where my co-author and I share the latest science on how to help a bendy body feel awesome. If you already have the book, please do leave it an Amazon review. It helps more than you could ever know, and it just might help someone else feel a bit more stable in their bodies. The book is called Too Flexible to Feel Good, and you can get it from most online retailers. Okay, so I'm just trying to think all the different things that we've helped listeners with. In terms of your next steps that you're going to go on, are you going to keep doing the same thing? Have you got other layers that you want to keep adding strings to your bow? Like, where, what's next for you?
Well, I have a couple. I have quite a few projects I have in the pot right now, as I know you do too. It's very hard to sit still when you have a lot of fun ideas. I may keep adding strings to my bow against the advice of most business coaches, where they're saying niche down to one thing. I'm like, it's really hard for me at this point, because I have some other workshops. Like, I've been like doing other workshops where I'm like, okay, like this organization wants me to come do a workshop for them and their coaches, mm-hmm. and like an LE organization wants me to come in and do this for some of their higher ups to be able to help their officers perform better. LE is law enforcement. Sorry for your listeners. It's just depending on what opportunities come up. I obviously have a lane I want to stay in. Like, I'm probably not going to go create a yoga program, right? I'm probably not going to create a full strength program. There's already good people doing that.
I'm joking.
So you would hate to see me do yoga. It'd probably be helpful for you. But yeah, like, so I like that space. I just have a lot of friends that are in that tactical space, my wife included, being a law enforcement officer. So it's a close place to my heart. So I'll stay in that area. I do help fitness people too. So I've done some like corporate wellness and some other fitness folks. So I go where I know I can help people at my limits of making sure I don't overextend myself, because that is a possibility as well, right?
I know. So, I think when you have a lot of knowledge and you know that, like, I look at these people doing certain things, they're totally out of my demographic, and I'm like, I could help you. I've got to do something. And I lie in bed awake at night thinking, oh, I could make a whole program for them. And, you know, and then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, that is not a good idea. That's going to take you hours. No one's going to buy it. So refocus on what's really important. I know. And actually, that brings me to something. I spoke about this earlier, and I'm just going to say it again. Something I need to get over is how frustrated I am by the information that I'm now that you've taken the red pill and the matrix has been revealed to you.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating seeing the information that's being put out. And just curious how you deal with that.
That's a good question. Particularly because most of us actually care about people and making people better. So when you see things that are harmful, it does kind of grind your gears a little bit, right? So I totally understand that. I always look to go, well, circle of concern and circle of influence are two different things, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's just going like, okay, what can I control today, right here, right now? Boom. Making sure I stay focused on that again, which is a totally, totally other skill. And then at the same time, like whenever I have the capability, I think it's making sure, and this is the same thing with politics or any other sort of divisive issues that people get really dogmatic about, is just going like, hey, if my goal is to make other people better and influence, then I'm not kind of self-righteous and arrogant about it. If my goal is to be right because I'm insecure, then there's a different approach that those type of folks take. And we all know what they are, because they leave us with kind of a sour taste in our mouth. Mm. But if my goal is to be able to be helpful and be a value add or a benefit to those people, then I'll come in with basically with love and be able to actually influence that way and go like, hey, have you ever tried this? Or have you ever thought about this? Because they don't know what they don't know. I don't think most people are malicious. I just think people are uneducated, or they're just being a little silly, or they're just overwhelmed. Like, how many people do you know that are really thinking at like the top tier level? I think most people are struggling to keep their head above water, and the world is a crazy place. And so I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. And that's the way I approach them, as opposed to being like trying to hold them to this standard. Cause I just don't think most people, even people with like, you got a million subscribers or followers on Instagram or a million YouTube subscribers, I'm like, it doesn't mean you know what you're doing. It means you know how to market. Yeah. And you're probably trying to be helpful, but you might just not know. So I don't come with any judgment based on any exterior metrics that I see. I just go, hey, how can I be a value add and how can I benefit? And hopefully that'll take me far. We'll see. I'm not there yet, but we'll see.
Oh my gosh, you are so there. I know that, you know, a lot of people look at big numbers online as some kind of validation, but let me tell you, Tony, you are there, because to have such a wealth of knowledge, such a brilliant way of explaining yourself, to come at it from such a great, humble, awesome, chilled vibe. I think you should be really proud about what you've built up over the last, I mean, you came from someone who's feeling unwell to someone who's thriving in your life now and living your purpose.
Yeah, says a lot. Absolutely. So like, I can always be confident that at the end of the day, and just who I am as a person, like just being able to be okay with that, regardless of what external metrics say, then that always allows me to just come in and to serve. That's all my goal is really. So
I hope, I mean, as much as I'm hoping my podcast takes off and reaches millions of people so it can help lots of people struggling with all those chronic pain and injury issues that are so avoidable, I really, really do hope that more people find your content because I just think it's absolute gold. And so on that note, can you please share where people can find more about you?
Yeah. You can find me at Tony Ryan on YouTube. Ryan is R-H-I-N-E, as you probably see in the title here. Tony.J.Ryan on Instagram is my Instagram handle. That's where I put most of my content right now. Most of the Instagram stuff is not, it's mostly to add value to people. So most of it is like, hey, if you're having knee pain, try this thing, see if it works, having back pain. So most of my content is just to be able to help people. And that's
it's very good though.
So
it's very, very good. It's very well put together. I'm always like, oh, cool. Another thing from Tony. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to make it like digestible. Instagram's a hard platform because it's like 30 seconds or a minute, but it's been good so far. It's been good so far. So I enjoy it. So hopefully all of y'all can follow me there and then you can enjoy the benefits of that. And typically I'm really good at responding to DMs and comments. So if you got questions or stuff, I'm pretty chill about being able to answer that stuff. So definitely reach out if you want to.
And do you do online online sessions with people?
I do on a pretty specific basis. If they fit for one of my programs, like the pain program, a lot of people fit for, I may push them towards a program because it's just a better long-term strategy. Lifetime access to a program where you can just get a bunch of drills and have my coaching once a week is kind of nice. If people are really specific, I'll still do some online sessions to make sure I can help them out. So
okay, cool. I'm just asking because I'm thinking of a few clients that are quite high level needs and I'm not sure if I'm cutting the mustard to really get them solutions. So I might be referring you some people. And actually, just a shout out, if any yoga teachers out there are struggling to help their people, maybe Tony's the man.
Yeah,
Tony, I think we're going to be using your pain program to death.
I love it. It'll be good for everyone.
Okay, so the one question I do ask everyone, which is a bit of a curveball.
Okay, good.
I ask everyone this. If you could give the entire world a message on a billboard, in a text message, whatever, what would your message to the entire world be?
You're capable of more than you think. Just be confident in yourself, because you are.
Yeah, that would be a beautiful billboard.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
If everyone believed that and acted like that, there'd be a lot less insecurity and a lot more love in the world. And it would be really nice. So go act like that. Go find it out for yourself.
Tony, something I love about you is like, you're this like dude that helps people, the military, and you know, you do BJJ and you can, you know, you could really F someone up if you wanted to. And then when I talk to you, you're like, yeah, we should just have more love in the world. And I don't approach it with any judgment. Like people are doing the best they can. I'm just like, this is why I brought you on Love at First Signs. This is the exact kind of vibe that I want on the show. So thank you so much for giving up your time. It means
you're
a
so
lot.
Welcome. You're so welcome. Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening, everyone. That was part two. Next week, we'll be welcoming a new guest. Remember, if this episode was helpful at all, please do share, rate, and review.